Blog Talk Radio.
For our nation would make a better society. Now some of us would rather cuss and make a fuss than to bring about a little trust. But we shall overcome, I believe, someday, if you'll only listen to what I have to say. And how long have you had your white teacher? Who told you you love your black preacher? Can you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? I say now people must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit more education
and love for our nation,
we'll make a better society. And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? If you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? Choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right?
How long have you hated your white teacher? Who told you you love your black preacher?
Do you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? People must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit more education
and love for our nation,
would make a better society. Now some of us would rather cuss and make a fuss than to bring about a little trust. But we shall overcome, I believe, someday, if you'll only listen to what I have to say.
And how long have you had your white teacher?
Who told you you love your black preacher? Can you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? I say now people must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit more education
and love for our nation,
would make a better society. And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? If you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers?
I'm up in Dover, Delaware, so as the audience can tell, we can we can be quite mobile and still do the show.
That's right. So, absolutely.
We'd like to welcome all of our listeners to tonight's show. Again, I am your host, Bilal Masadiq Bynum, and I guess my co-host has introduced himself, but if not, we'll do it again.
Abdul Aziz Shaheed, and greetings to our audience. And our topic tonight is going to be very, very interesting: affirmative action and dual citizenship in Africa. That's quite a topic that we're going to get to. But before then, Brother Bilal, I know you've got a lot to say about other things that we know of that's going on in this good old United States, brother, that's taking us off the world scene as a power, you know.
You're absolutely right, Brother Aziz. You're absolutely right, Brother Aziz. Tonight's show, affirmative action and dual citizenship in Africa. And I don't know if Sister Feisler is coming on with us, but hopefully she will,
okay,
because she just got back from Africa.
Oh, right.
And,
oh.
So Sister Karima, if you see what Sister Feist is on, make sure you bring her on as soon as possible so we can she can join us in our discussion tonight. But the dual citizenship and affirmative action. Again, brothers and sisters, we've been in this country for over 500 years. We made America.
Yeah.
And most of these white folks who are making decisions about our affirmative action haven't been in the country. Most of them haven't been in the country 50 years. And plenty of them haven't been here less than that. But they, because of the color of their skin, they think they have superiority over us, but we are going to have to let these white folks in the entire world know that your voice and your vote is not going to determine our affirmative action. Only we as African Americans will determine our affirmative action. And so the dual citizenship of Africa, it is time. I think if you really look at what's going on, of course, in this country and the racism that's been going on for hundreds of years. And the same racism exists in all the entire continent of Africa. It's time that Africans and African-Americans correct what was done hundreds of years ago. It's time to correct all of that and realize Africa belongs to all of us who are Africans. And the invitations that we're hearing from our African brothers and sisters, and many of those are leaders, talking about it, inviting us to come back and share what belongs to us, I think is extremely interesting. And I think that it's just about time that we start considering going on back home and let these white folks bicker among themselves. But it's thinking that they're the ones who can determine our affirmative action. They can forget that. Even if we stayed here, and which we will be staying, ain't nobody leaving America, but I'm saying the dual citizenship is where you can go, live in either place. And if you found that it's not suitable for you here, then you may find that once you go to Africa and get established, there may not be any room coming back or wanting to be here. But that's something that we ourselves as African Americans would have to find out. But I do know when it comes to who speaks for African Americans and our rights here in this country, white folks ain't got no business making that decision. And we thought we had put an end to it in 1965 when the Civil Rights Bill was passed. And we know that, and as much as, well, I ain't going to say I hate to say it, because going in 1965, fighting segregation, you and I both was revolutionaries, Isaacs.
Yeah.
And so, again, we was fighting a war of racism.
Yeah.
And it was a serious battle that we had to go through to get that Civil Rights Bill passed. But here it is 100 years later. White folks think that they can reintroduce this stuff now for some, it ain't an unknown reason. I think they're trying to take the advantage of our younger generation, because most of us revolutionaries who fought to get the civil rights and then even white women benefit from it by getting their equal rights. But they think that there's a weakness in our ranks, I think, from our younger generation. You heard that noise, I'm outside. If it gets too bad, I'll go inside. And these are the lawn guys finishing up the lawns. And but at the same time, so that's why we're having this discussion tonight, and that's why we continue the discussions, because we do have to plan affirmative actions. And what that affirmative action comes out to be is a decision that we will make, not white folks. So, and on top of that, another disgrace. After killing thousands of those in the Greenwood Business District of Tulsa, Oklahoma, and stealing the oil that is today worth trillions of dollars, and killing our folks, hundreds of them, to take what belongs to us, we go and try to get justice by going through the courts. And the courts won't even hear the case. As a matter of fact, not only did they throw it out and said it won't be heard, but they threw it out with prejudice. And prejudice is saying that you can't bring the case back to court. As a matter of fact, they said if it's been thrown out because what happened 100 years ago and all those folks dying and what have you was just an event. In other words, they killed and murdered those folks and then white folks and say it was an event. And today, Tulsa is owned and ran by white folks, and all of that oil that belongs to African Americans and Native Americans, they're benefiting trillions of dollars a year from the Black Belt Wall Street and Black Wall Street, and from Black Belt Wall Street, the Black Belt Business District, the business district at Booger T. Washington, and the Greenwood Business District, the business plan they put together created African-American businesses throughout the entire South, and it spread it as far as New York, and if you go out to West, it went as far as Illinois and parts of Missouri. So you can see how powerful the Black Belt Business District, along with the famous Black Belt of Black Wall Street, that's the power they had, and that's the power of the white folks, is that their credibility for killing us is that we were showing that we wasn't inferior to white folks, and they said we should have been shown that we was indeed inferior. And the day that the black man shows that he's not inferior to the white man, then I guess they're saying we're supposed to die. So it was a disgrace. Affirmative action bill being put on our face, but to throw that case out of court after you murdered thousands, and the case can't even be heard. So, affirmative action is something that we're going to put together, and I think we can put together a package that'll be so powerful that economically it would bring America to her knees, especially if we start moving back and start building up the industrializations of Africa. So that's absolutely my opening remark, and I am going to now, I don't know if Sister Sasha is with us or just what, but if so, we look forward to hearing. If she do, maybe she'll just come on if she's with us when she's ready. But I can't see the board, so I can't see. Yes, ma'am.
She's not here yet.
Okay. But anyway, that's our discussion this evening, Brother Aziz. Let you do your opening comments, and hopefully our audience will come on as they come on.
All right, bro.
Let me just say this. Anyone who is on, our mics are open, so you'll be able to join in the conversation right after Brother Aziz makes his opening comments. We will open up our mics, and we can all share in this idea of affirmative action and considering dual citizenship as to where we can live in Africa or the United States. So, Brother Aziz.
Yes, thank you, Brother Bynum, Brother Bilal. start off with the affirmative action. And I look at the affirmative action of the Supreme Court for turning that down and dismissing it. It doesn't come as a shock and a surprise. And all of this hatred and prejudice and that shouldn't come to a surprise to any African-Americans that are like 40 years or older. It's, you know, if you're 40 years or older and you're living in America and you're a person of color and you've been living, and even if you come from another country and you've been here long enough, you see how the system is in America. America has a set of laws that they govern by. However, there are two sets of laws when it comes to the preference of how people get treated. You have the wealthy and you have the poor. But then you have to break it down. It goes beyond the wealthy and poor because it's a breakdown in the wealthy and a breakdown within the poor who gets treated. But when you break it down even further and break it down to races and that, then it all sums up to one thing. The people of color get treated real bad. The so-called American Negro has been abused and mistreated so bad. It's similar to a person owning the most expensive Rolls Royce that exists. You own this Rolls Royce, and you have it for 20 years, and you don't do nothing to it. Nothing to it. The engine is about shot because you only changed the oil. You didn't even change the oil. You just put oil in it, and these two tires, the brakes are shot. The interior is messed up, and people wonder, how can such a beautiful automobile, how could it have been neglected and deteriorated and gone to down to this level? And that is the same way the systematic racism and prejudice and white supremacy has affected the African-American people. And in spite of all of that, bringing us down as low as they could, we have contributed to every aspect of American life, whatever way you want to go. The African-American has contributed when it comes to medicine, science, agriculture, morality, you name it. We have done it historically, and it's a part of the record. But a part of the record that is not wanting to be revealed, and they're trying to make it a law. In some states, it has been a law, not to teach racial injustices in the past that happened to African Americans. They don't want that taught. They don't want. They want people to believe that things that happened to you in the past, your people in the past, can't affect you. It's like when a person has a depression, or something. You know, it's like they're depressed for something that happened to them some time ago, years ago. Well, how can that be accepted? And the atrocities that happened to us can't be accepted, and that the affirmative action program is going to be wiped out because the people that are up there in the Supreme Court are blind, very blind, except the two people that voted against it, or the three people that voted for affirmative action to stay in place. They wouldn't buy it. They were shocked that their colleagues were like that. But, you know, forgive me if I'm saying the wrong thing, not, you know, based on my opinion as far as it comes, for justices, all are the same because none outright talks about the other justices for the negligence and the immorality that they have. They'll want to get you for getting, they want to judge a regular American citizen that's working in a corporate position or governmental position, primarily governmental positions, for taking a gift from other people because you have a position, you're the purchasing officer, or you're the you're in charge of this organization, you're the secretary or whatever, or the deputy commander of this. These people that want to sell things, products to the government, they give you gifts and all that. But in this case, Supreme Court justices, when they get these gifts and that from so-called friends and that, it's based on some type of influence that they want the justices to exert over some law or case that might be coming before them that the American citizens don't know about. And when this information is revealed, there's no affirmative action taken on that. No affirmative action taken whatsoever when these justices or Supreme Court justices, they are involved in things that normally anybody else is in a position of a governmental position, it would be an outright conflict of interest, straight up. You know, not we don't have no friendships like that with people when you're in a position like that and you can get things done. And it's not hard to trace down how your influence, based on the fact that you're getting these gifts, your influence is being utilized somewhere, even if people can't see it. You have friends in other positions that you could influence other people that to help these other people out to get whatever they want to get. So my point is, affirmative action is not taken when any of this immorality or this criminal behavior is taken. It's only taken when it comes to us. And to deny African Americans, men and women, from the right to have equal access, it's just not a thing about education and that. It's about medical access, housing access, access to all of these things that's necessary for your life, for livelihood. That's what affirmative action affects, all of that. All of these, a lot of different social services that were given to people in poor neighborhoods, and particularly big African-American neighborhoods, a lot of these social services were cut based on the affirmative action program, because it's like, why should one group of people get more than another in certain areas? It's like, why should you have more access to educational institutions than some other people, even though you got the same grades and the same qualifications to get there? They want to say that you don't deserve to have that over the other, but they continue to forget. And they hate to be reminded of the fact that there were things that were institutionalized in America, like educational institutions as well as economical opportunities were outright denied to African Americans. And no one said anything about it, even though we had good people that were God-fearing people. They did not speak out against this here to the fact of where it would harm them. It's like, you don't do the right thing because of whatever the consequences may be. You do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. And they wouldn't do that, because with white supremacists, when you do the right thing and talk against that type of behavior and that, well, what you're going to get out of that is a lot of hate. You're going to get people disliking you on what you have been. They think you're a traitor. They won't think you are a good person no more. You're with them, so we hate you too now. So it's a responsibility for standing up and doing the right thing. And affirmative action was one program, one of a number of programs that were out there that was helping African Americans, in a sense, make some minor, and I do mean minor, steps forward towards getting some equality in the country, and not in every area, just starting to get some equality and getting the educational institutions, getting medical rights, medical help. We know that African-American women are on the top of the list of having deaths in childbirth, let alone having problems, doing pregnancy, because They don't have access to good medical care. It's something that I've always thought, you know, the American veterans that are 100% disabled veterans, they don't have access to the same medical help that the President of the United States has. Now, mind you, many of the presidents of the United States we've had has never been in the military, never had to put their life on the line for the country. And these veterans have, the majority have. They've been out there in positions and situations where they were in fear of their life. But yet and still, they knew what they were there for in that position where not many Americans would like to be, but that's part of supposedly maintaining this American lifestyle. So you would expect that your country would allow you as a veteran to have access to the best doctors, the best, because of what you tried to do to help this country out. But it's not that way. It's not that way. That's every able-bodied African-American especially. And we ask the other brothers and sisters of other cultures, the Latinos or the people from South America, different countries from South America, to participate in this, because we know that you're going to be in the same boat as us when it comes to getting ahead in terms of, but the one thing you have that we don't have is, and this is the one of the things that the white people in America, especially the leaders, have always hated. Anybody that wasn't born here, they can send you back the way you came from. But all us African Americans here, they can't put us on no boat and send us back no damn way. And as my brother Bilal said earlier, we've been here longer than the majority of them. Just us right here. Us, him, Brother Bilal, myself, yeah, talking right here today. We have been in this country longer than most of Americans. Most. And that's something to say when we have a lot of these youngins running around, these 40-year-olds and stuff running around trying to tell us how things are supposed to be run. And they're just trying to get an understanding of what's going on. They've been led in another direction than what the Constitution that we abide by. And we love the Constitution of the United States of America, only if it would it be enforced the way it is, should be enforced, as well as a few things removed from there, like one of the things about African Americans not really having the right to citizenship in America. And this could be one of the reasons why affirmative action was taken away. Until some of those things like that are removed from the society as a governing force in the society, a lot of those type of attitudes won't be going away because they rely on stuff like that. The ignorant people that are racist people, they just go along with it because they're going along with hate. Hate is what's controlling them, not knowledge. Just plain old hate. You know, it's like, I hate red. And that's what they're supposed to be going by, that kind of hate. So we got to rise, African-American brothers and sisters. We got to do all we can to let our congressmen and our senators and representatives know, let the president know that we're against this ruling that the Supreme Court justice has made on this affirmative action, and it's going to hurt the country extremely. Just like these natural disasters, if we don't have them reverse that decision, because one of the things about it is when they make the Supreme Court justice has made their decision, all of that information is not given to the public, especially by the news media or someone from the Supreme Court as a representative of each one of those justices to tell why they didn't think that affirmative action should continue to stand. What is it that they saw?
Okay, how are you guys
doing? That the rest of us didn't see in this country, especially people that is happening to daily, every day. How can they not see that? So that would be really good if we could get them to tell us why they voted down affirmative action. What was their reason for that? And that's what I'd like to start out saying. And I thought about that earlier.
That's a very good question. I'm sorry,
you
the
said,
radio
brother,
I think. But
man,
you know,
I was
going to
say.
Go right ahead, brother, I think.
I was going to say that when you mentioned about the dual citizenship and the need to start looking towards that direction, it's time, you know, because one of the big things that I know that stopped the Africans from being able to produce their own food, they can't get the money to get the equipment to start farming. And one of the things that I believe that is a necessity is that we know that it was a time period, I don't know quite the year it was, that a group of agriculture scientists were sent from Tuskegee over to Russia to help them get over a famine they were having. And they went over there and helped them grow potatoes and some other crops. And right today, there are some African-American people that's over there that were descendants of those African-American scientists from agriculture scientists from Tuskegee that decided to stay in Russia. They didn't want to come back because I saw the interview of a couple of girls' fathers, you know, their fathers were, they're the children of the children of those scientists that came over. And they said, well, yeah, we don't get that racial thing and all that like that here. No, we don't get that, you know, being picked at and called names and all that there. And when we really look at it, the history of, like, when did white people, when did Jews become white? When did white people, Jesus become white? All these portraits and things like this. This is stuff that was put into, it was put into society from a distance. What I mean by putting the society from a distance, it was something that people added into the history that wasn't necessarily history. And you got a bunch of ignorant people that don't know nothing. You could tell them anything, and they start to believe in it, especially when one group of people are told that they're better than another group. And they know it's not true. But they want to live up to it some kind of way if they can, to try to do that. But they always see that, you know, you can't outdo these people. You know, no matter what you do to them, you can't hold them down. And if they had the same as you had, most people really don't know the histories of anything. Anything in that. And we could go on and on about this, but we, as the African-American people, we need to come together again and protest this. We need to have groups forming, writing these letters, protesting, getting petitions and getting permits to go down and have a walk, like the Million Man Walk or the Million Woman March. All of us go down there. Get the leaders, our African-American preachers and all this, and leaders and that want to be seen running their mouths. Do this. For one time, let's get together on that. The Million Man March was very good. Some results come out of that. it showed what we could do in terms of if we want in terms of getting together, but it should have been a program wherein we had positive results from that to where we could calculate it and we could actually see those positive results take place. So this is what we need to do now.
All right. Brother Aziz, we're going to open up for questions. Any of our listeners have any comments or questions? Our mics are open. All right. Our mics are going to continue to be open throughout the evening until we end our broadcast. So anyone who should come on, our listeners who may want to speak at any time, just interject yourself and come on, and we'll listen to your comments. But Brother Aziz, getting back to what you were saying, and as far as doing things, we have done things we used to do and things that was like you had some success. You see, as long as we as African Americans are asking for, I tell you, America belongs to us. When something belongs to you, you don't necessarily need to ask for what belongs to you. Your civil rights are right in the United States. You're the one that there are civil rights. It has nothing to do with a civil rights bill. In order for any Americans to have civil rights, we had to fight a war of independence to get our civil rights. And those civil rights was afforded to us by all of us fighting for it. White folks were slaves until that civil rights, that independence bill was signed by England, saying that they were stand down. And that's why we have liberty. And that's why none of us are slaves anymore. But like you said, hundreds of years ago, what went on in the past is that there's been plans, and white supremacists have put together their plans because they more or less outnumber us. But that was then. And now is now, like I said, during the civil rights bill that we have to have passed in order to come out of segregation, that bill wasn't something that we when we asked for it, it was passed. We didn't beg for that bill. Oh yeah, there's a whole lot of destruction went on. A lot of property was lost. But African Americans like I said, when something belongs to you, you shouldn't have to ask for permission. And when you get to a position where you're asking, especially these, see, we've been asking these white folks for hundreds of years. And we sort of slowed down the asking after affirmative action, after the civil rights affirmative action, and regulations were put in order, where even if you was a racist, you didn't bring it out to where it would be of any use in our society. But today, white supremacists are going at full strength, and they ain't trying to hide nothing. My question is it because we've been asking too much? We haven't shown where we can say, this is mine and I can take it? So again, saying that I went back at a million man, sending a million man, African Americans to march. And then when you get there, you get in front of the legislators and you start asking them for stuff. I don't know what you're marching for. If you're going to go up there and I'm going to ask for all of this stuff. Because, again, if you're asking me, that puts me automatically in a position of superiority over you because you're asking me. And because you're asking me, I can simply say no. I have that power, and you would have to accept it because you're asking me. No, brothers and sisters, I tell you, brother, I agree. We don't have no business asking for nothing, especially when it comes to affirmative action, which means the fairness that we all create in this country and the schools, because it's much more than schools. But if you wanted to narrate it to the schools and the colleges and saying that now, I can see if you got your own private school. You got your own private school and you paying for your own private school. You don't want nothing but white folks in your school. I have no problem with it as long as you're paying for it. But when you start taking tax money and you build yourself a Yale University, you build yourself an MIT, you build yourself a Michigan, a Virginia, I couldn't believe how big Virginia University. These schools are cities. And you're telling me something that much of our revenue go into, our tax go into. And I know I'm a businessman, big taxpayer. I know plenty of other African Americans write large checks because we have to pay our taxes. But paying the taxes, and you mean I'm paying the taxes to be a slave to you? That don't make any sense at all. That makes me less than a human. So again, they don't have the right to take away affirmative actions if it has anything to do with public funds supporting that institution. They don't have the right because the money they're spending belongs to us too. So again, when it goes back to when you have to ask for what is yours, then no wonder you're being rejected. But so you have to, and so when we start talking about, and I know folks are saying that they're trying to invoke violence. No, it ain't. I'm trying to invoke economics. The hell with violence. Violence ain't gonna bring no nothing but me hurting the white man hurting me back, and we both laying up in the hospital with bandages all over. Hell, that looks real stupid after it's all over with. But economics, our country is a capitalist society. And it's our money, especially the black man's money, that runs this country. Everybody in America, when you start talking about it, next month, they're going to put together the spending bill. The money they're going to have to spend to keep America going. Again, when they put together that spending bill, all of us put together that money so they could pay the bill. So how is it that a white person can say, I claim this and it's mine? You can't go to a school that you yourself are financed. No, when something belongs to you, you simply, if you ain't holding on to what's yours, then you are, I am superior to you if you have to ask me for what is yours. So no, they don't. So affirmative action, we shouldn't even be talking about affirmative action, because again, if you are going to take what's mine, back in the 60s, they did it, but you know what got us out of segregation? Because every city in this country was burning down. And we was ready to die for life, liberty, and our pursuit of happiness. Nobody is more of an American than African-Americans. Nobody's more of a patriot of American than African-Americans. But African-Americans
right.
got to see it where, but we have to, and we know as Americans, we have to fight for our liberty. So why should the white man expect anything else than aggression when he goes out here and start back, I'm going to take something that don't belong to me, but I'm going to take it. And I'm gonna say, I mean, and that's why the bill in the Greenwood Business District. That's an example of how bold that white man is.
Mm-hmm.
After killing our people, and the world has acknowledged the massacre that went on in the Greenwood. And you know, they start talking about taking stuff to the world's court. You see, in white, the world's court is something like NATO. You see anybody saying, let's take that disaster to the world's court, bringing the United States up to charge? Do you see anything like that? But it was murder. Thousands of folks, thousands of African Americans, and it's documented in all the legends. And anything that has anything to do with justice, all of it, they know the history, and they know about the murdering. They also know about the economics that they took, and that's why they murdered these folks, is because they was robbing them. And they didn't just and it wasn't black. It was Black Wall Street. Black Wall Street is not a one. Greenwood Business District is the Greenwood Business District. They was named Black Wall Street because of the powerful work that the Black Belt Wall Street and the Black Belt Business District that they put together. Booker T. Washington and the Greenwood, financed by the Greenwood Business District, is why African Americans got out of slavery, and that slavery was called the where they had to pay their debt because of the leave the farm. And that went on, but the reason that is because the Greenwood Business District and all was able to create their own banks, their own insurance companies, and we was able to, black folks now can go to a bank and borrow enough monies to pay off their sharecroppers agreement, and that's where that migration started. Look at Marcus Garvey. Marcus Garvey went to the Greenwood Business District. Look how powerful he became because he was able to go to the banks and the financial institutions we had in our own communities. And that power ran all the way from Texas all the way to throughout the South to include Maryland and Delaware, because that's where the largest amount of black slaves were sent. Was in those states. So again, to say we're not even going to take it. And I mean, after all, look how long it took to even get it to trial, and now you have set a trial date, and rather than even hearing the case, they just simply throw it out and said it was a historical event. Even though folks died from it, there was no more than an historical event. That's that's the cruelty, and that's the justice that African Americans can expect from white folks as far as I am concerned. Now, what do we do about it? Because we got to do something proactive about it. We just can't live like slavery is something that, I don't know about most African Americans, but I would rather be dead than be a slave again. And I ain't just laying my life down. And so but again, like I said, it don't have to be the violence. It don't have to be taking up arms. No, no, no. Control your economics. African Americans
$1 trillion.
Now, you heard me use the word trillion. I didn't say billions. Trillions of dollars. It is estimated that this year alone, we're going to spend more than $1.9 trillion in consumer spending. And we don't own no stores. So all that money.
It's a lot.
Tell you, white folks, they live large because of black folks in this country.
We can buy all the Caribbean islands.
Hey, that kind of money, we already, when it comes to a national report, a worldwide report, it is reported that when it comes to the income, the money that African Americans actually make, and I wouldn't say make from earnings, but the money that they have, that's the churches and all, we are the fifth or the sixth richest. If we was our own independent nation, we would be around the fifth or the sixth richest nation in the entire world. That's how much money's come into our hands. So you tell me, with that much money's coming in your hand and you're giving it all back to those who say they hate you. You're paying for white supremacy. You're paying a big dollar for it. So economics, that economics from that white supremacy. And that will, I can tell you right now, America would go into a deep depression. So this movement, we talk about going back to Africa and taking those resources. Because once we go back to Africa, now we're putting our monies in African banks. And these African banks, we can be like they said, if there's going to be joint ownership, there's got to be joint festivities financially between Africans and African Americans. So, yeah, we got business plans that we have to put together, but it at least would be black people putting together the business plans, rather than having anything to do with white people. Because white people, I don't care whether you're African-American or you're an African in all the continents of Africa, you're going through the same racism because of the color of your skin. And so it's time that we as powerful, but African-Americans can play a huge. So when you start talking about our economics can change a country immediately in Africa, or we can damn near change the entire continent.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, that's the position that Almighty God has put us in, but in the meantime, but we still waste our time making Americans and white Americans who say you don't have any justice, you don't have any, there's no justice for you, no liberty for you, no pursuit of happiness. You don't have any of that. But you keep paying for that for that not to happen to you, for you not to have your liberties and be living a life of happiness. All right, so this business of dual citizenship in Africa, I am looking into it. As a matter of fact, we're going to Africa. We'll be going, Sister Sasha just came from there. I was hoping she came on this evening. But she's looking forward to coming on because of the information that she's shared with me. And I know in October, I think sometime in October, I can just about tell you we'll be going to Africa. And Aziz, you were talking about farm production and farm production and the possibilities of what could be. Well, let me tell you about the possibilities that's become a reality. And this is what, and it ain't no secret because I know she was going to talk about it. And I'll go ahead and spread the gossip. And then when she do come, I'll spread rumors. I'll put it that way. And so when she comes back, you can tell her who spread the rumor. But I can tell you right now, when you was talking about farming in Africa, African Americans have already bought the farm. African Americans have already owned a rice farm. They already have it. A nice size farm. I think might be an area of 25 to maybe 50 acres. And it's a productive farm. And they like one that's being built that's already productive. They went on over there and they, the Africans who was farmers and that was having a hard time, they went over there and they all became partners. Just what we're talking about doing. African-American and Africans sharing knowledge and labor and whatever else it takes. But the farm is already being productive, and there are other African countries that needs, this is a rice farm.
Right.
And so metric tons of rice will be shipped out of this farm. And so that's what, when we go to Africa, we won't be going to Africa talking about we are proposing to do this and we want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
No, we're already doing it. It's just a matter now, how big do you want this thing to be?
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Yeah.
And so that's what I mean. We don't have to put up with Americans, white folks think they can speak for us because all of a sudden they're going to find that the gift we've given them is diminishing and it could be gone.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens,
right,
he will perish because we take care of this country. We take, because all of our monies go to them. All of our monies. Our monies only circulate in our communities in less than 4 hours during the time of the Black Belt Business District. Our money circulated in our communities for 40 months before it went outside of our community, because that's how many businesses we had to continue business production. And the money circulating from those productions. So economics. That's the war we need to fight.
Mm-hmm.
That's the war we need to fight. And I'm telling you, it's a powerful war. It's a war where I see a lot of African Americans and Africans finally getting their just due when it comes to the returns of their properties that they own.
Mm-hmm.
And it ain't going to be so easy coming to Africa. thinking you can pull a black Wall Street attack. No, won't be so easy because we'll be away from the white man then. So that's what I'm saying. We don't have to put up with this. We don't have to ask. If they want to make these types of decisions, then it's time that we start making decisions. But this asking for stuff, if that's your position, I'm going to let you go on with asking. I ain't asking them for nothing because I'm a war veteran. Pay too much of a price for our country to be asking for anything. You know, Brother Aziz, I remind folks, when we was in Vietnam, that was the time Martin Luther King was killed.
Yeah,
assassinated.
Right.
When we was in the toughest battles that we could be in when that happened. But the United States came very close to losing that war. Why? Because the African Americans, damn their turn, I was ready to start killing white folks on that day. You remember that day?
Right.
I remember,
bro.
White folks didn't show too much any saying thing they're white. They was ready to die to show their
life. Yeah, you know. Actually, I was on R&R in Japan when that happened. And
why was it?
Me and some brothers, you know, a bunch of us got together and start in them little, all them bars that was on the strip, bro, start kicking the white boys in the ass, bro. It was a big thing. It was a real big thing.
Over in the war, with the thick of the war was going on. You know, the Ho Chi Minh, made an announcement, and that announcement was telling black folks that Martin Luther King was assassinated, and he was telling black folks that to join them, and together we would wipe out these white folks, and offer dual citizenship to us. Back in those days, but some brothers took that citizenship, and they're still living in Vietnam today. But most of us didn't, and that was because white folks wasn't crazy enough to send white folks as our commanders. They sent out all the black colonels that they could to see if they could calm an uncontrolled of the situation that could have become a disaster. So we know like I said, white folks don't have no business speaking for us as Americans. They don't have the right. They don't have the right. But that's our position on that. But our proactive position is to take away, control our economics. We've got to find a way of keeping our dollar bill going into circulation of black businesses. And then there's just a few black businesses. Support the ones that you can support. That's why we tell our listeners, if you're a business person, that's what the station is all about, network marketing and business identification. We talk about the political things like we're talking about tonight simply because we have to. Politics can be very dangerous, and we have to realize that. But our objective is economics. So our mics are open, and now we'll see if there's any listeners who wish to comment. If so, our mics are open, and we welcome your comments. Okay, let me, Karima, how's our listening board? Even Karima, I'm abandoned. abandon the spot. So, but anyway, that's what we're going to be continuing. Tonight was, like I said, is an introduction of affirmative action. And now we see what happens with justice when they throw out the right to even bring a massacre. A massacre, a war, not an insurrection, an all-out war on people's all because you wanted to steal their money. And now you can't even bring that to court.
I know.
They tell me murder has no time limits. Just think, if we had murdered that many white folks, you think they would that there would be an absentee of time on it?
Not even.
No,
you know,
always be wanted.
It's like now when they had that insurrection at the Capitol. National Guard and nobody was put on alert, and they knew they had warnings from the FBI and all that there was going to be a problem, you know, and the president told, oh, no, we don't got to call them up, and none D.C. police neither, nobody. And, you know, these guys had a free hand to go ahead on and attack the Capitol of that. Now, when we went to the Million Man March, every damn gun-toting police department, National Guard, Army was on standby.
Yep.
Because they didn't know what might happen. A million of us, that'd be too much. That was like, could have took the Capitol over, moved on and took the Capitol over. Blocks at a time. But it didn't happen that way. It was very peaceful and respectful. And this is something where look how they had everybody on standby and getting overtime worried about an attack on the Capitol and that. And here it is, you get a warning and you see the masses building up and you still don't call for no help. And it went on down to where they done them come on in. They went inside the Capitol. Now, those same people, you know, they're paying the price. They should be thankful that they have their life. Because the way we were trained in the military, brother, anybody that would have been attacking their capital, it would have been a lot of bloodshed.
We already know what. And the president of the United States sent white supremacists on that insurrection.
Yeah.
So when you have the president of the United States ordering millions of folks or whatever you to do this or to do that, that is treason.
It is.
And,
it is.
So when it just got and it, I see. This is what I mean about the reasons why we as African Americans, there is no justice. You know, I tell you, we all are free as Americans because we're not subjects of security are being afraid to say what we want to say and all that. We have the freedom, but you don't have any justice.
Right.
African Americans don't have any justice. And anybody else on the skin is not white. There is no justice.
That's right.
You see,
that's right.
So that's the problem with the Mantel America. Can be just, and you can see she can't be, because the decisions that are made by the judges are unjust.
Mm-hmm.
And if so, those who are supposed to be I mean top of the line, the righteous almost,
mm-hmm.
are no more than Ku Klux Klansmen.
Yeah, yeah.
No more than members of the Ku Klux Klan. And so now, so yes, there's no justice.
There's no justice, no peace.
And so that's why we need to take our economics and build our own justice and a system, because you have to live, you have to live in you have to have justice. You just cannot be a righteous community without justice.
Yes,
so you got
yes.
to have justice. But so in order to find justice, we need to find our own sovereignty, where we can make our own laws and decisions, and put that white man in a position where he wouldn't dare make these decisions that that benefit nobody but him. Because again, when black folks take their monies from white folks, they will, because we are the ones who economically pay the bills for this country. We're the ones, it's our money. Because remember, and you say, well, how can you say that? We can say that because when we pay $1 trillion in taxation, and only white folks can benefit from it, then that's our credibility to land, that's a thing. Because your injustice, not only injustice, but you're a thief. Because you take what is not yours. So economics is where we need to go with our plan. We need to put together business plans, and those business plans is Africa and the United States. That's where you're putting it, but Africa and the United States, because we have our marketing, and just think we'll be able to market all over the world, all over Africa, the entire continent. It's where we can produce marketing. Right here in the United States.
Right.
And we can produce it right here in the United States. So very
Africa got a lot of Africa's fertile soil.
Oh man, remember some countries in Africa is bigger than the United States. And so you start talking about not only a country, but an entire continent. Are you joking?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, an entire continent.
Mm-hmm.
So, we have a lot to be optimistic about, but you're going to find that being optimistic when you start thinking outside of the box, because that's what we have to do now. It's time for us to stop thinking inside just the box And I'm saying just what's happening in the United States. Think what can happen on the outside of the United States. And Africa, and there are many, many other countries, because I know our business, our Masjid Muhammad, they're going to Pakistan, or I hope I pronounced it, and they're going to be taking a business trip over there. But we can't expose ourselves to the entire, I'm going to do business. No, we have to start off and then expand after we get a start. And Africa is our beginning, and it should be our beginning. But that's my opinion. Brothers and sisters, our mics are open. If we have any callers or listeners, we welcome your comments. Well, Brother Aziz, we need one of us around the board because we can't see. We're calling. We can't see the call in, but I am going to assume that we don't have any participation, that we ain't doing up and holding the conversation with each other, maybe. And it's a good conversation. And hopefully,
yes, it is, truly.
Because it will be a continuing conversation. Because
Needed.
Yeah.
Very needed.
And when you say the need, and when you start talking about the need, remember, we don't have channels of communications as to where we can speak openly in our mind. Because the TVs,
right.
When you go up here, you got to be very, very particular about what you say. And those who are black are on the TVs, they know they can't say anything they want to say. They'll be gone tomorrow. So they have to say what white folks want them to say. And so we have to be able to tell our stories without being edited by white folks. So
Again,
and with that said, we're going to say again, our mics are open if there are some listeners. We welcome your comments. If not, Brother Aziz, unless you have some more comments, we're going to close it up. Brothers and sisters, our mics are open. We welcome your comments.
Yes, Brother. I was going to say, I look forward to if no one's on to talking about this next week, and hopefully we'll have Sister Sasha on and that, and definitely we're interested in, still want to stay on affirmative action because this is, the news is lit up about that, brother. Women is talking about their abortion rights. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
And that's something that is taking its front page president with the affirmative action.
Let me say this about the affirmative action bill being turned down. If you ask a person, 50 years old or younger, to explain to what is the affirmative action bill, do you know they wouldn't be able to tell you? You see, this is why young African Americans, you don't see young African Americans saying anything about this bill being turned down. The effects of it, as much as it affects them, they don't realize it. Because they don't know anything about the bill itself.
Taken
away from them, they don't realize it. Only thing they're saying is, we have to go to a black college now. Oh, it's a lofty damn. So again, and that's why these things are being taken away from African Americans that we put together years ago. the baby boomers and all. It's all being diminished because our younger generation don't know anything at all about being black. They don't know anything about black power. They don't know anything about my brother's keeper. I'm not nothing about nothing like that.
That's right.
Yeah. No, I'm not talking about I'm black and I'm proud. And I'm saying it really mean it.
Right.
They can't do that.
But you don't see them walking around with none of that type of t-shirts or clothing or apparel.
You tell them something about rapping. Well, you're cussing each other out. Boy, they know those lyrics. I mean, they know them. I mean, I said, it's amazing. You know those.
Mm-hmm.
They know those lyrics. I mean,
right.
They know them. And can cuss you right on out with the rappers. They mean all of them cussing each other out. You know, doing whatever they're saying. And I'm saying, my goodness, that's where we relegated to. But I tell you what, white folks been going that direction. No, black folks, they learned from black, especially the white woman. I mean, the gays are using everything black folks did back in those days to advance their cause. As a matter of fact, when it comes to any kind of civil rights, it's all about folks who are with those funny letters. They don't like being called gays. You know?
Right.
You know, because but anyway, I'm not going, you know, but like I said, they use our suffering to advance their lust.
I know. First thing
so that's why we need to start making our own decisions and stop having the society to make decisions for us.
Mm-hmm.
And detach ourselves stuff that is not about our culture at all.
That's right.
Not about our culture at all. And but anyway, I am going to stay on course with the affirmative action. I ain't going to go into personal and human activity. We'll be going too deep. But I don't mind saying though that those that call themselves homosexuals and stuff, yes, they use African Americans to advance their own cause, and that's something that no, do I like it? No, heck no, because we had to suffer too much to advance our cause. It had nothing to do with our lust and our desires. It had to do with segregation and being dehumanized and being made less than a human.
I know when they passed the Equal Rights Bill, you know, the first thing that really hurt us was they threw the white women in there.
Well, that's what
Equal
Rights Bill is all about. We got the Civil Rights Bill. White women were the ones who got the Equal Rights Bill. But the reason they got it, they piggyback off of us. Because white women couldn't vote either. They didn't have no power. You know?
Mm-hmm.
The white man was a white supremacist to the white woman just like it was to everybody else. White woman was just about sleeping with him. She could say, you know, I'm your lover. And I'm having your baby. Well, you still, you know, you was a, you know, other than that, you wasn't, you had no power. No.
That's right.
No, the only power you had is black men getting hung for looking at you in their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that made you feel like you were powerful.
Yeah. That's what it did.
Uh-huh. Oh, man, matter of fact, that's El Paso. That's where the Greenwood Business District. They claim it all started from that, but we know it. That was just something that was a setup for them to do what they wanted to do.
Right, you know, did the same thing in all around Rosewood, Wilmington, North Carolina, all around different African American settlements that went in and tried to destroy Union City, Alabama. You know.
Just all around,
brother, when they see us making progress, you know, these vigilante groups, and they got a lot of blood on their hands. They got a lot of sin on them. But one thing we know from the Holy Quran and teachings is that all of them jokers, brother, wherever they buried in the ground in the United States, they're screaming and howling. They're being tormented in the grave. That's what the Lord said. They'll be screaming and howling, tormented to the day of judgment. That's why they say.
Well, yeah, they're gonna pay the price. They're gonna pay the price, but we'd like to get to see a little bit of that price being paid while we're on top of the ground. And the way we're gonna do that is, like I said, economics. Tear down their economics. And the way you tear down their economics, stop giving them your money.
They can control the athletes and all that there, but they can't control us, you know. They can control them in terms of how they spend their money, where they spend it. You know, if they saw a bunch of athletes dumping millions of dollars in Africa and that shoe, red flags go up.
Right.
You know, but we go over there quiet and skeptical. Doing things, communities, and all of a sudden we building up, got stores and all this and that. Businesses, like you say, the rice farms and all that. You know, another thing, Africa definitely needs some telecommunications.
We need that all over. I mean, that's our problem in our own country. We're not able to communicate with each other. That's one of the reasons why we keep this station going, because we know that there are not many places that's where we can have open communications where we can talk to each other all around the world, really. Just a matter of who comes in. You know.
Right.
But blog can take us all around the world. It's wide open to you. All you got to do is dial our number in your own speaking voice. And we look forward to of our continuing show. And like I said, brother, ask again if there's any listeners who haven't had a chance to be heard this evening. Our mics are open to you, and we welcome your comments. All right, brother Aziz. As far as I am concerned, we've been on for an hour and a half. We got a half an hour to go. If you want to make some more comments, Brother Aziz, of course you're welcome to do so. But other than that, looks like you got a pretty quiet evening.
Yes, brother. I was going to say, we got a quiet evening, maybe. We just need to go and sign off our internet people. We can't get any information. You know, we can't get in contact with them, but we're glad that they're listening to our program and hope that some of the things we said has helped them and benefited them in many ways, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm with the understanding, brother. We have a low audience in that tonight, and we're going to sign on off and make that sunset.
Yeah. All right, Brother Aziz, that's something that, inshallah, we can do.
Yes, sir.
There's nothing we can do. Again, we'll make one more announcement before we go. If any latecomers came on, you have any comments that you'd like to make, our mics are still open to you. And that's just that. Our mics are open to you. We welcome your comments. Other than that, then, brothers and sisters, we're going to say that we look forward to a continuation of our conversation the following week. And we're looking forward to having those who just came back from Africa and the business that they're proposing because we're owners, we're business owners. We're landowners now in Africa, African Americans, and they're joining,
mm-hmm.
and they want that venture to become ventures where it can be a million or more of us. And we know from a million that we'll bring on millions. And when that happens, America will have no other choice but to change, or we wouldn't care whether she changed or not. We would be powerful and independent because we would be controlling our own business plans. So until next week, Wednesday at 7 o'clock, I am saying good evening to you, Brother Aziz.
Yes, my brother. Good evening, and I throw my legal to you, my brother.